I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts, like a lot of true crime podcasts, so much so that it can be so very hard to find my next binge. That's why I'm excited to dive into the Military True Crime Addict podcast. It's not just about war crimes. They delve into the actual life events of military personnel, veterans, and their families to bring us shocking stories that have not been covered by the media. Check out Military True Crime Addict on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Military True Crime Addict. Get your fix.
We are back with our second part of our human trafficking season finale. Last week, we talked about human trafficking, specifically more focused on men and boys and teens in the U.S.
And now we're going worldwide.
Woohoo!
Get your passports ready.
Get them out. We're focusing on boys in the season finale because they often get overlooked as victims of human trafficking. Another aspect that we're going to be talking about tonight is child soldiers as human trafficking, which often also get overlooked when we talk about human trafficking, when we make policy about human trafficking, when we have resources for victims of human trafficking when they come out of it. The U.S. State Department estimates that there are 24.9 million victims of human trafficking worldwide. The Global Report on Trafficking in Persons estimates that 27% are children, and of that cohort, one in three are boys. And the State Department actually has tiers when it comes to countries' human trafficking worldwide.
Yes. And the tiers, actually, they have three, but there is really four because we have a watch list.
Well, wouldn't you say maybe five, too, because they also have the child soldier tier, or is that...
That was a special section. A country that's completely compliant is in tier one. All of the agreements with the world, whatever, NATO, everybody, what everybody's all on the same page about on human trafficking rules and regulations. The U.S. State Department has our compliance lists, and those compliant lists determine what kind of aid, banking, refugee, farming, you name it, that you can get out of any of the other nations that are compliant. Tier two is one that's kind of there, sort of trying to make progress to becoming a tier one country. And tier three is a country that is not trying to become compliant and are not going to be compliant. Those people get cut off from a lot of major sources of funding, which is a bad thing because the refugees then don't have allocated to them to get out of there. So, you know.
As we've learned, there are waivers, which get used pretty often. The State Department will use these waivers to continue to send aid to countries that are in tier two, tier three.
We shouldn't even have them getting a waiver, and they get, looks like they were getting waivers every year.
And the waivers, there's a big prevalence of waivers in terms of human trafficking of child soldiers if it's in the national interest. And there's a huge amount of that.
Will you name some of the countries off of the list, the waiver list? That is public knowledge, just so everybody knows. But these are some of the countries that the national order of whatever has decided get waivers for human trafficking and child trafficking.
I know that Russia was on there. I know that Saudi Arabia was on there.
United Arab Emirates, Bangladesh.
Bangladesh. Yeah.
It was a long list. It's a big old
list. There was a whole list.
What was it called again, just so everybody knows?
Through the Office to Monitor and Combat Trafficking in Persons, you go there. That actual report for 2021, you have to ask for to be emailed. But we were looking, I believe, at the 2020 report.
And through the State Department, right?
Correct. Through the U.S. Department of State.
www.state.gov.
Yes.
Release of the 2021 Trafficking in Persons report. It was released on July 1st.
Last week, we talked about the Delta Project, which was a newsletter from the 1970s run by John David Norman, where boys, teens, and young men were advertised to men that could purchase them. And this came to light in the 1970s. Then you were able to just apparently run a Boys for Order newsletter from prison. Now I'm probably on a watch list for researching this episode. No, now it's very, very, very hard to, you can't look at child pornography without getting added to a watch list, without getting detected. It's very hard on the surface web. But this has...
You have to word it very carefully.
Yes. And...
You have to make it in a way of research and not. But that's it's a hard line.
Yes. So this has, over the years, it has migrated to the dark web. This is a way that on websites on the dark web where users can access it anonymously and share child pornography, which gets pretty freaking extreme. I do want to be clear about the statistic. The dark web can be accessed through a Tor browser. For anonymity, there needs to be layers of cover, a VPN that hides your IP address, and nothing can be linked to your surface web identity or your real world identity. So the dark web, it's all that. So Tor browser is where you can access the dark web, or you can access websites with a layer of anonymity and communicate with a layer of anonymity. This is great for whistleblowers, political dissidents, journalists. It's also great for people that live in countries with governments that have heavy surveillance and heavy censorship, like China, for example. But Tor users in these situations also use Tor browsers to visit conventional websites. However, 80% of all traffic to Tor hidden services is related to child porn. So it gets confusing because, 80% of Tor traffic isn't child porn, but 80% of its hidden services. This is the traffic. The portion of the dark web, these hidden sites that comprise of pedophilia sites, is only 2%. So these like 2% of the dark web get like 80% of the traffic. It's some interesting numbers, and it's really easy to get lost in. It's a significant population.
Do they look like regular websites?
I've actually never been on the dark web. I did research about it, but from what I've seen of it from other people going on it, is it's not as polished, and I think Tor browsers move more slowly,
so the websites are just a little bit less shiny.
They're very beta. You type out and it's like black and green, like the old message boards that we used to go on when the internet first started and things that
so part of the dark web pedophilia sites, it's basically the Delta Project on steroids. It's anonymous, it's on the internet, it's worldwide. And I'm just going to dive on into my notes. So Hurtcore is a very, very, very dark aspect of child pornography sites on the dark web, and these function internationally. It's really messed up. I think it's probably the darkest place on the internet. It basically it's hostage based, it's terrible. So they lure victims in kind of through blackmail or extortion, and their children, their teens, and basically extort them into abusing themselves, abusing each other, both physically and like humiliating themselves. And sometimes they're actually hostage situations where like people are taken hostage. Hello?
Wow.
Yeah, it's really, really dark. So, tying it back to there's just so much about it. Last year's episode about human trafficking, we saw that undocumented kids were targeted, like street kids are targeted for this kind of thing. I guess we're going to circle back around to that. It's hard to talk about. It's crazy. Listening to podcasts about this and doing research, like there was one where I was listening to the incident of Peter Scully, which we're going to get into, and one of the hosts was explaining it. The other host was just crying through the whole thing. And you see hardened detectives interviewed about this, and they're, I still have nightmares. We're all traumatized from investigating this. We're all traumatized from like watching this.
I guess without any further ado, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Peter Scully because he sucks and he mostly targeted young women. But basically, he's an Australian who fled the country of Australia before he could be charged with running a property fraud scheme that cost investors over $2.68 million. Bear in mind through all of this, he is also a father. So he left his kids. First, he went to Malaysia. Then he went to the Philippines. These are both tier three countries, I believe. And from there, he ran his hurtcore porn production company called No Limits Fun with the help of his two teenage girlfriends that he also plucked off the streets of the Philippines and groomed to be his accomplices. He would use these young women to go procure his victims. He'd tell them what age he needed and bring them back. And he would torture and basically on the site that he put it on, hurt to the core. People could request content and he would provide it. And a lot of a big thing that he did to his hostages, a lot of them died. He would force them to dig their own graves and record it and then proceed to torture and rape them. And it was really fucked up. So basically, he made this movie that was leaked to the surface web. It's called Daisy's Destruction. And this 18-month-year-old baby and two other adolescent girls were severely tortured, like severely tortured.
The little Daisy girl.
The oldest and the youngest survived. The middle one did not. She was found buried beneath the floorboards of one of his houses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the two other girls are permanently and like they're gonna have permanent problems from the injuries they sustained during their time with No Limits Fun. He would get them off the he would send his girlfriends to get them off the streets, promising a hot meal, education, a better life, and he would proceed to destroy them. He'd make them do humiliating things to each other. When Daisy's Destruction was it was basically leaked to the surface web, and what caused this to happen is Hurt to the Core's owner, Matthew Graham, aka Lux, leaked it because so he started Hurt to the Core in 2013 when he was a late teen. He thought about joining Anonymous to shut down a Hurt Core site and then discovered that he was turned on by a said Hurt Core site and decided that this community needed a platform where they could freely share ideas, including producing kiddie porn for dummies and ideas for blackmailing victims. And it became an empire. And he really wanted this to be, and it's really fucked up. So like part of this being a community is it would be sharing ideas on how to lure victims into being exploited to produce this content. They would tag each other by their handles. In some of the videos, you know, they get the victims to hold up the name of another user as like, it's like tagging someone in an Instagram post. It would be like, hey, and it would be, you know, it's just really messed up. And so basically it pissed, the Daisy's Destruction cost $10,000 to view. And that pissed Matthew Graham off because this was supposed to be a supportive open source community of terrible people. He leaked it to the surface web. And the world learned the awful truth. It started off as kind of an urban legend, but then it was confirmed that it did exist. And investigators had to watch it over and over and over again to basically map. Yeah. That opened, it brought it all to light.
And do you know Pat Scully?
What?
His voice in the background was recognized by an officer in Australia who watched the video and recalled a case that they had that he was involved in, and he recognized him by his voice in that video. That was the biggest part of why he got caught, was his voice, because he was a known sex offender.
They're like, oh, it's him again. And so to watching him in interviews, because he wants to write a tell-all journal, you know, just exploring why he's, I don't know why I do what I do, why you do what you do.
And I mean, in a way though, don't we kind of want to know why? I don't want to know why. I don't want to read that book. I really don't want to read that book, but.
Right. It's, oh gosh. Yeah. It's dark, but it revealed this dark world where both girls and boys are being exploited. And it's interesting because it moves the human trafficking conversation internationally and online. And, Yeah, a lot of the Hurt Corps, like, they don't have to physically take a kid hostage to take them hostage. And, you know, it forces them, they use blackmail, they trade tips on how to effectively blackmail, they get kids to brutalize each other, to bring other people into it. It's just this whole, and we see a lot of the same stuff that we saw in our last episode that was lower tech, where it's making the kids accomplices and that sort of grooming to bring other people into this like dark and twisted world of exploitation.
Was not original.
Not original at all.
No, because they're all connected. They all go, but they all play by the same freaking handbook, in all honesty. They really do. Like, it's, if you look at, it's all textbook. Like, if you look at all of them, there's always at least five things that they do that is exactly the same.
It might fluctuate a little, but it's the same.
Yeah. Might not be the same five things, but that checklist is a very long list of things. It's a messed up world. And internationally, it's messed up because, so like over here in America, people go, you know, to the middle of nowhere and do messed up things. But they also travel overseas to do a lot of things. Sex tourism is a thing. And the one thing that people also don't notice is when a woman is going overseas to have sex with a man that is, you know, they're paying them for their time, that's more looked at as, oh, they want to be treated a certain way and romance, da, da, da. But how do they not know that that person is being forced to do that?
Yeah.
It's not looked on as, you know, oh, you know, it's a little girl and this guy came over here for a sexcation and, you know, specifically for this. Well, that woman's coming over there specifically for that too. So why isn't that considered in that? Where is it? Morocco. Morocco is huge, huge for sex tourism. Those beaches are beautiful. And a lot of those beautiful boys are also selling their time and not always for themselves. Mm.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Speaking of beautiful places, do we want to talk about Jamaica or do we want to talk about Australia first?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, I mean, Thailand is beautiful too.
Beautiful, beautiful places.
Why?
Let's talk about Australia. Let's go over that way. Cause I'd also like to bring in the boys, the stool boys in Thailand.
Yeah. Australia is, they're in tier one. Supposedly they comply, but
that's why they leave Australia to go to Malaysia.
Yeah, you know, it's easier for them to get there compared to us, you know.
What have I been reading this month? Sincedo Noir, an anthology collection curated by M. Dante. This isn't just your average bedtime story. Think drinking in an intimate conversation about sadomasochist love and global literature. Think alluring reflections on bondage and hot power play in cinema. Think of decadent discussions on the influence of politics and culture on sexuality within the framework of social control. Oh yeah. Sexual intellectuals rejoice and check out Mockingbird Publishing on Facebook and on Instagram at Mockingbird_pub. Sincedo Noir. Yes, ma'am.
But there has been quite a few instances in Australia that have come up in the past years. There was one. It's kind of outlandish, and I can understand why people wouldn't believe Miss Fiona Barnett. She came out in 2015 speaking about an extensive pedophile ring that included prime ministers, law officials, people, important people from other countries, go and things like that. And it goes all the way into, you know, children being born specifically for sex. And people do weird things and they think, whatever gets you going, I guess, Sally, just go. I don't know. Right? It's Thursday. And, you know, she even breaks it down to like the royals. And it's kind of terrifying. You'll have to watch some of her stuff because some of it does line up. Some of it you're kind of, because there is these things known as like false memories that sometimes happen from certain traumas.
There was also, I saw this, I listened to a podcast about the Finders and they were talking about how some of the kids
would recall satanic rituals, or was it the finders? It was something else about, or no, it was like this kind of thing where it was like, you know, if they do the abuse in like this weird, weird way, when the victims recount it, they won't be believed because they're like, what the-?
Exactly. There's those things do happen. And also there was another huge sex ring that included, that has links to the United States, Canada, Asia, Europe, New Zealand. Yeah, they released this on a Wednesday. It was childcare workers and people who did soccer things with your children and all of those things. People who like had authority and would gain trust of your children. And this happened in 2020. So it was 16 men. Out of those 16 men, there are 828 charges of sexual abuse among children and trafficking,
including distributing child abuse material and bestiality involving four victims age 16 months to 15 years old.
Exactly.
Throw it there, see what happens. Or it's Australia, you'd be like a sheep, right? Or who the fuck knows? There's all kinds of it might have been a wallaby. I don't know.
Like kangaroo?
God, three wallabies and a baby.
But yeah, so when they do these things, it's not just humans doing stuff. People are like, do messed up stuff to these kids.
Yep, and this is back on, it was dark web material. It's back to these, like, the 2% of the dark web that gets 80% of the traffic. A lot of this is, like, you know, it's open source. Not open source, but it's crowdsourced content where people will be like, I want to see this. And a producer will be like, all right, I'll find the kid.
Yep, or people just share what they did. They'll be like, oh, I forget his name and I will look it up. He was actually like a 20-year-old who was from the UK who happened upon a dark web website, and he shared JPEGs of his relationship that he started with a girl when she was 3 all the way till she was 6, and had detailed journals about the things he did with her and was so excited about sharing the like progression of her growth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he did get caught. He is in prison. But this was a 20-year-old.
Wow.
Like,
yeah, the ages are, it's interesting. Because there's just a lot when you get into, like, who the personalities and the identities were. Because, you know, there it's all on the dark web, so it could be anyone. And then when you find out who it is behind there, it's pretty shocking. Yeah, you know, I think it's just as shocking when you find, like, a normal 20-year-old versus, like, an elite politician or something.
Well, yeah, I almost feel like people half expect it to be that person in high power, but sometimes it's your neighbor's kid sitting in their basement being a fucking weirdo.
It's not always, yeah, it's not always a politician or a government official. That's part of the issue that we have. Talking about back in Oceania, Australians do migrate to Malaysia, Thailand to do their dirty deeds. We all know that. I think Jeffrey Epstein's girl, Virginia, what was her name? The one that busted the case open. She was actually in Malaysia, I believe, when she met her husband from Australia that escaped her.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because the Philippines and Malaysia came up in the Peter Scully case. And those were two of the main countries we talked about in last year's baby farming, human trafficking season finale. And yeah, it's, you know, one of those things where it's, well, what happens to leftover kids from these situations and
the floorboards.
So I had a friend who went to Thailand, and she went into the wrong bar, and there was these stools at the bar that had these posts on them, and there was a little boy sitting on one of the stools, and she's, what the fuck is this? What is going on? What it was the boys would sit on these stools with the peg to keep their butt stretched out. The guy said, so the soldiers wouldn't tear their assholes out. That's what they told her.
Well,
it's not much of a secret.
She did not. I mean, everybody looked at her like she was crazy. And
It's just Wednesday.
And she turned around and left. I mean, she was in the wrong section of town. She was not in the tourist area.
God, I feel like that could be a game show. Like, let's play the wrong bar. Or
like, I went into the wrong bar in Thailand. Do you want to hear my experience? Or believe it or not.
Yeah, that's it.
It's in a lie kind of thing about like the wrong bar.
Right? Going to a tier 3 country. two truths.
The wrong barn, a tier three country.
But yeah, so that.
So I bought heroin off of an 8-year-old. And then I had the most delicious sushi. And then I stumbled into this bar where I was asked about the age I like. Which one's the lie? It's the sushi. I don't know.
That sushi wasn't great.
Awful. It's a weird parasite from it. And I've been shit ever since I returned. I know that we're like mostly focusing on Australia and Malaysia and things, but a majority of the offenders that happen in Malaysia and the Philippines and the Pacific Islands, or not, is it the Pacific Islands?
It's called Oceania. Call it Oceania.
Or the Oceanic Islands.
It's world. I mean, it's crazy because it gets broadcast worldwide. You got the Australian one that we just talked about that broke this summer, the one where 16 men in Australia were arrested. 3 men in the U.S. have also been arrested linked to the incident. And there's perps in Canada, Asia, Europe, and New Zealand also linked to this.
Hey, do you cringe love dad jokes? Well, what about mom jokes? Then have I found the one mom band for you. Jessica Delfino is a critically acclaimed comedian, musician, and writer. She was once dubbed the Lower East Side's Queen of Obscene, but since becoming a mom, she performs more family-friendly musical comedy all over the world and all across the airwaves. She's been featured on Good Morning America, BBC Four, Scary Mommy, and even on the Playboy Channel. Check out her new book, Dumb Jokes for Smart Folks, on Amazon. A delightful read, chock full of witty wordplay, logical leaps, and of course, mom jokes. And check out her musical comedy on iTunes or at jessicadelfino.bandcamp.com. For Jessica's latest works, upcoming performances, and more, follow her on Instagram and Twitter at Jessica Delfino and on TikTok at JustSomeMom. Because everyone needs a good laugh.
There's specific places where people can go and, you know, take hostages more easily. But
it's not just hurt core. It is just, it could be just, hey, I want you to do this to this person. And it could be sexual. And in a lot of like India and the countries that have like the makeshift cities, you know, I'm talking about, they have like brothels in them and they have access to the internet and webcams too.
They do.
Those get broken up too. Sometimes people, they are able to find out where they are just by what's in the background. Unfortunately, they have to watch what's going in the foreground as well. But those places get raided as well, and they pull child after child after child out of a room that really only one person should be in.
Yeah, and it's traumatizing to everyone. I mean, with the Daisy's destruction in particular, like even on this like hurtcore website, other pedophiles were, oh my God, this is too far. And They're all traumatized and everyone's freaking traumatized.
The State Department hardly ever comes out and chastises a nation in particular. They just do the report. They did with Jamaica because of the pandemic. They're having such an overflow of human trafficking with children in particular. The cops are involved and they had to say something. Okay.
Just think, the pandemic didn't stop the human trafficking.
I'll know that if a cop is facilitating it, it's for money. There's a lot of poor people in Jamaica. And it was going on before the pandemic. Children not being able to go to school, Krista was talking about, has made the problem go underground a little bit more. And it's painful.
Some of these kids, their parents are their trafficker. And everybody was given the internet for free.
In Jamaica?
Like for school and stuff. I don't know what they did over there, but I'm sure there was access to things and webcams and...
I didn't even think of that because I didn't get internet for free because I don't have kids at home. But I guess if you had kids at home, you could get free internet during the pandemic.
That's how it was in my city. They'd be, oh, do you have access to the internet? You could either get it for free or extremely cheap.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's been a lot of broadband grants, which is great.
Yeah, which is great.
Yes.
But not for that purpose, please.
Yeah, a lot of the same, the kids being trafficked by their parents, a lot of it's like, It's poverty. It's, you know, we can't afford this and you're promising my kid an education and like a better life. And
well, and Chris, I'm dropped in Jamaica down to nothing. And that's what most of these people were living off of and were barely scraping by on. And then that's gone.
100% gone. Not just slow. Gone. What? I don't know. I don't know if anybody's ever been in a dire situation. You have absolutely nothing and you have four kids and you have no food and you can't feed them. And they tell you, oh, hey, I'll give you X amount of dollars to take one of these children off your hands.
Huh. And I'll send them home for Christmas.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Promise them a better life.
A job even. Be, oh, they'll come work and we'll let them keep half and we'll send you half.
Yeah. That's another tactic that traffickers use. False job.
Russia and Romania. It goes, oh, you can come be a nanny over here. And then they get there and they take all their papers and, oh, you got here and yeah, you are a nanny, but you're also my sex slave. Or now you're an international hooker. Sorry.
Damn it.
That easy. And especially in impoverished places, they'll be like, oh, you can go be a model. Oh, you can come be a nanny. You can be a house cleaner. You will let you, you know, oh, I own this restaurant and I need servers.
Yeah, the word model is so...
Yeah, housemaid, CNA. Even a CNA, you could end up being trafficked.
I also want to talk, you know, specifically, so the cases that we've been talking about, you know, we're talking about trafficking in children. 1/3 of children trafficked is estimated to be boys. So, I specifically also want to talk about child soldiers as human trafficking, because this is mostly boys, and it also gets overlooked a lot when you think of human trafficking, because it's, you know, sex, labor, that sort of thing, but it's bad. This was back from 2012, but the UN estimated that there were 300,000 active child soldiers worldwide. And this is armed forces, fighters, informants, looters, messengers, spies, and also as domestic and sex slaves. This gets lumped into all of that. The numbers vary, though. UNICEF says that between 2005 and 2020, over 93,000 children were verified as recruited by parties to conflict, although they believe the actual number is higher. The age ranges from 7 to 18. Most are under 15. Some are as young. And they're primarily recruited by non-governmental organizations. As of 2021, Afghanistan, Colombia, Sudan, South Sudan, the Central African Republic, Syria, Yemen, Burma, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Iraq, Nigeria, Rwanda, Somalia. It's the same factors that we see for other forms of human trafficking, socioeconomic factors, extreme poverty, lack of access to education. But also in these situations in particular, it offers a level of protection in violent regions. And children are impressionable, easily become normal for them. And normalizing it includes intense training, violent initiation ceremonies, and they're put at obviously high risk of death and chronic injury and disability, and are often forced to take part in tortures and killings. Times of war it impacts the number of children being trafficked for this purpose, but it also impacts the rate of children of sexual violence against children, child abductions, attacks against schools and hospitals, and denial of humanitarian access for children. And these are all defined by the United Nations of acts of. That's a lot of, sorry about all the word vomit.
Well, and sometimes it's not that they just go because they feel like they need to be safe. Sometimes they're ripped from their houses in the middle of the night and forced to go because their mother was raped and killed in front of them. And now their sister is someone's sex slave.
Right. Like, join us or die. Or
yeah, like it's not, oh, I'm doing this to be safe. I mean, yeah, I'm doing this to be safe, but I have no choice. So yes, I'm doing this to be safe.
Doing this to be safe for you guys and also you other guys.
Right. Like, it's like either one. Mm-hmm. Either one.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to people being complicit, the U.S. government's quite complicit. The Child Soldier Prevention Act of 2008 gives the U.S. government the authority to penalize governments that recruit and use child soldiers, and this requires the State Department to publish an annual list of countries that have recruited or used child soldiers who've supported groups that have done. And the U.S. government's prohibited from giving police or military assistance to any governments on this list. However, waivers. lots and lots and lots of national interests waiver. It gets waived really often. And these boys also get left behind when it comes to services for victims of human trafficking. When it comes to special visas, assistance, rehabilitation services, they get left out often, you know, because it's kind of this, I mean, I think it definitely falls under the umbrella of, you know, boys just need to man up and deal with it.
And there's that level of shame, because it's like, if you let you as a man, I guess I can't really say because I'm not a man, but like that masculinity factor, if you've let someone demand you, I guess, I don't know, like, then you're not worthy anymore. And if you admit to it, you're even less worthy.
Well, it's this weird catch, this weird paradox, because like what these kids are forced to do very much fits in with like the masculine framework, but that they're doing it as a coerced submission. It's such a bizarre paradox.
It really is. It's
and partaking in or being forced to, I mean, this is an extreme example of being forced to be complicit in what's happened.
I guess when you hear soldiers say, oh, I did it because everybody else was doing it and we were told to do it, people are like, well, that's not an excuse, right? Oh. And yeah, an adult people in that situation, that's still not an excuse as to why you did what you did. That's against human rights and blah, 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 blah. But even in those situations, as an adult, I feel like you would revert back to some form of childlike behavior. And so now these children are permanently stuck as children because of the trauma that they experienced as children and learned how to deal with it.
Being forced to commit crimes against humanity when you're 7.
I feel like you would probably mentally always be 7.
Yeah.
Possibly. Not always. There's a lot of
in certain situations, I guess in triggering situations, your mind would go back to that 7-year-old kill or be killed.
It seems women's minds are a lot more resilient. Boys rip apart easier. It's true.
Yeah, and the lack of access to services on the other end of this and, like, special visas and that sort of thing, I think is huge because, you know, they need it. Like, they're going to need it coming out the other end of this, and it's just not there the way it is for victims of human trafficking, which that's not even there enough. So
man up.
Yep.
Deal with it.
Not too far, you know, because it's you do the thing and then you're it's like, oh, you just killed 8 people.
Not a win-win sitch.
Well, and that's the saddest part of, I think that's, I mean, there's many saddest parts of this, but one of the saddest parts of, you know, human trafficking, starting with children, is that, oh God, I just lost my train of thought, but.
Well, like people, yes. Okay. So. Human trafficking, children trafficking, yes, there is a wide part of it that is sexual. There is. And even in the boy soldier part, those boys are raped. They're raped into submission to do what they're told to do. They're not just given a gun and say, here, go kill people. Like, that severe training also involves being broken down as a human. That's part of that as well. And they're passed around. It's not just, whatever. Don't even want to go that far. But I lost my train of thought because I couldn't even.
Yeah, it's so hard to even go there with this terrible, terrible things happen to boys and it doesn't get the recognition.
It's like nobody cares. And oh, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. No, they won't be fine. And this is why we have so many fucked up men out there.
Yeah,
because they're not fine. And it's not good for them just to be available on another Wednesday night in any form anymore. It's not good for them. They break apart easier, you guys.
Or on a Thursday in Australia.
Thursday in Australia.
And honestly, I think that men and boys wouldn't break as easy if they knew how okay it is to be broken and that you can still be a whole person. Even with those huge cracks, like it's okay. Yes, you might have some struggles, but that doesn't make you any less of a person. And that's what makes, I think that's what makes them break so hard, is because they feel less of a person. And it's all, if anything, it makes you a stronger person because you survived. You're still here. take that in it. Like, I don't know. I can't tell anybody what to do with their journey and their survival of horrific things that happen to them, but take that energy and try to do something.
Yeah. I hate to bring up that bastard again, but not that. I just remember that from Game of Thrones. That asshat, Peter Scully again, but he said that he was like molested by a priest and that was like part of the reason that he felt the need to, you know, kidnap and sexually torture little girls to death. But, you know,
That's not an excuse.
And perpetuating the cycle is...
That's a scapegoat. You knew what you were doing. If it was that traumatic for you, what makes you...
Right.
We could go into that if you guys wanted to. That'd be a whole hour.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other topic because there is some truth to...
There's truth to it. And he's got a point. If he hadn't had that happen to him, he wouldn't have thought about it. He wouldn't have had the smells. He wouldn't have had the taste. He wouldn't have had the fantasy that would have eventually enveloped him, and he wouldn't have had that. Somebody shouldn't have fucking touched that motherfucker, okay? Because it turned him into a monster.
But the 20-year-old who had a 3-year, you know, whole journal was never touched. Was never allowed.
Not that you know of. A lot of people don't have memories before, what, the age 6 or 7?
Well, no, it's 3. 3. It's when you start really remembering things.
And you can dissociate an event real easy, real quick.
True.
Yeah, when you learn to dissociate because you're getting abused, you can probably dissociate when you're abusing as well.
They do. They do. I
think I'm going to need another drink after this episode.
That's the incidences that get out of hand is when they're dissociating and doing it.
It's just so weird because you look at some of their pictures and like the pictures that they show when they're with their normal people doing their normal people shit.
When they're children, when they were kids themselves, looking at some of these killers, or it's heartbreaking because not only are we losing the kids that they tortured, but we lost those kids.
I like to look at, well, I don't like to all the time, but I like to look at the eyes, and eyes are very, very, very telling, even in photos. And like I said, like when you look at pictures of them doing like their normal people stuff, like with their families, like photos of them with like their significant others or their children or when they themselves were children. And then look at pictures when they get caught or watch videos and they talk about what they did. Their eyes are interesting because you can see a switch. There's always that switch, and that switch is terrifying. I don't know. It's just this black hole. I don't know. Take the time. Look at the eyes.
Yeah.
In all of them. I don't know. It's a weird thing. But, yeah. We went over Australia and Malaysia. We went over soldiers. Didn't we have another one to talk about?
Bitter juice. I think that was it that was on my list.
I'm just making sure.
I can't think of any right off the top of my head.
Y'all be good to each other out there.
It's a rough place, man.
It's scary out there. And
yeah.
Don't go on the dark web.
Unless you're going to be a whistleblower or avoiding censorship and surveillance from your authoritarian government. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us for season 2.
The season. A lot of fun.
It took some twists and turns.
It did.
Yeah, sorry. I always like to end it on these type of things, but
some fun times. We had some Zodiac Killer times. We had some talking to Marty Puccio times. And yeah, thank y'all so much for we had some major upgrades. Had some a lot of growth this season. We really appreciate y'all being a part of it.
I hope my swearing was tamped down for y'all because it's really hard for me not to swear.
We edited a lot of it out too for all of us.
It makes me laugh when we see comments that we swear a lot, and I'm like,
you got no idea, y'all.
No, and I do want to mention the 3 of us do everything for this show. We, you know, and we all work. Chris has got kids. Chris, you know, there's kids in all of our lives. They're running all over the place. But yeah.
We're all in our own jobs. We're all doing our lives. It's, yeah.
Yeah. So, yep. All women. cast, crew, and production team. Carrie Ann is an amazing audio editor. We do all of our own research, all of our own promotions. So, you know, please, please, please consider joining us on Patreon. You know, I think the lowest is like $2 a month for ad-free content. It really goes a long way to support our efforts in doing this and to help us have the space to do our best and research things thoroughly and bring you quality episodes that we love to share with you.
Yeah, and it's fun. But yeah, we're going to bring you some really cool stuff for next season and some more fun interviews. And eventually, all of us will be in the same place and we'll have like recording audio of us all in one place, probably a video, but you know.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, Krista and Carrie still have never met in person and I am so excited.
Yes.
And yeah, if you join us on Patreon, we're going to have Juicy Bits where we're definitely going to check. I think we're going to check in on this Australia thing because it just broke and there's more coming to light. We're going to follow Marty Puccio and Megan. Just keep an eye on all kinds of stuff. If you want us to talk about anything or do a little short video or a juicy bit on it, which are 15-minute episodes, unedited episodes of us talking about current topics in true crime, let us know. We want to be here for you and to bring you the content that you want to hear about.